All right, everyone, welcome back to episode 8. It's episode 8 of the Porchcast. We are broadcasting from Station 26 Brewery here in Denver, Colorado. Justin Bakri, how's it going?
Going great.
And we're here for a special reason. Justin, tell us why we're here.
We're just coming off of the first anniversary of Station 26 Brewing Co. So we partied for 3 days this weekend. And
how are you feeling now?
You know, three anniversary party days, and then yesterday we were closed for Hops and Pies staff party, so that's four in a row.
Wow.
And I'm ready for a day off.
Ready for a day off. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we also have some special guests with us as well. Why don't you all introduce yourselves?
All right. My name's Jesse. I'm in a band here called Arc Life. Benjamin?
I'm here also. Ben DeSoto. I'm in Arc Life.
We've got the two fellows from Arc Life here with us. And then, of course, the usual cast of characters.
Ni hao. Wo jiao. Su mo.
Sam Pike has decided to speak only in Chinese for the entire podcast. And Justin
Hello.
Patty's in the house.
It's great to be back after a couple month hiatus.
That's right.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And I'm Tristan Chan, of course. And we are very excited. This is the first podcast we've broadcasted since GABF, I believe.
Yeah, since we sat under the big blue bear outside the convention center.
What?
That was still basically summertime.
I know.
A long time ago. It's,
it was basically summer until yesterday. Give or take.
Oh, the weather of Colorado. Well, we are very excited to touch on several topics because of that long break. But first of all, Justin, where are we broadcasting from? What's the address?
I don't know. What is it? We are at 7045 East 38th Avenue, to keep with my
tradition.
Streak of reading off the address of where we are.
So that's right, 7045 East 38th Avenue. If you want to come out and get some great beers, be sure to stop out at Station 26 here in Denver. They've got fantastic beers. Let's start with our friends over at Arc Life first. We all kind of got together. Well, actually, you all have a unique tie to the podcast in that you all were the very first thing that people probably heard on the very first episode. We intro'd with Let Your Heart Break from your debut album.
We're actually just here to get our checks. Is that right?
Yes, actually. That's, I didn't know about that.
I thought we were meeting our fans and getting checks.
Hey, I bought you guys beers tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for the usage.
We love the new album, and you all are also playing a show this Friday.
Yep.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're going to do our last show of the year, and it's our last show for a little bit. Actually, we're going to take a bit of a break, but we're playing the Ogden on Friday with Nathaniel Rateliff and also Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, his new soul band, and Ben Kronberg is going to be the MC comedian kind of guy for the evening. So
totally.
Should be a fun one.
Is it sold out already?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Did
I haven't heard that.
More importantly, did anyone drive by the Ogden sign?
No.
Tell us what happened.
Ben and I both had the pleasure of walking and busing by the sign. Actually, today, just about 2 hours ago, if you go on our Facebook page, we've updated the. We'll just let you read the marquee off there, Tristan. You know, whenever that comes up.
You know, whenever it loads. Great radio. We are live podcasting the loading of Facebook on Station.
Arc Life.
I got it right here. Nathaniel Rateliff with Art Life.
Art Life.
Have you guys heard of Art Life?
Yeah. What if they got it right and there's another band opening? This is just some tragic misunderstanding.
Oh my god.
Art Life is so hot right now.
Yes.
So hot.
Their first album is good.
It's you. They're playing all of your music, but they're crafting while they're performing.
Yeah. So, much more impressive.
Yeah.
Much more impressive lineup.
They're going to be knitting socks and stuff while they're on stage.
Every great band or musician has had their name or band name misspelled at some point.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually sort of better. It's kind of a misspelling for the better, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like a mark of, that's like a passage. A rite, Ben? A rite of passage in band life?
No, that's a wrong of passage.
Wrong.
It's a wrong of passage.
It's a three-letter word. I mean, it's not, like, really hard. Yeah. It was funny, and it was charming, and I'm really excited that it happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a pretty star-studded cast for the show on Friday. I mean, like, is this one of the bigger shows that you are?
There's a knitter. There's somebody who works exclusively with construction paper.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Playing drums for us. And, there's
a great muralist. Yes.
There's a muralist playing the bass and painting the back wall of the Ogden.
Cool.
That's art really life. Neat. It's going to be a great show.
It is.
All joking aside, it will be super fun, and we will have some tasty surprises for people.
Oh.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
As far as the performances go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, you all have had a really stellar run this past year, and you all are taking some time off. Can you tell everybody who's listening a little bit about what each, you know, what everybody's going to be doing in that time off?
Yeah. So when ArcLife started about a year and a half ago, at the beginning of 2013, basically everybody already had music projects going on. ArcLife kind of happened accidentally. It was super fun. We decided, let's take this on the road. Let's, you know, strike while the artistic iron feels good or whatever.
Now, how did that all come together? I mean,
is that the right analogy?
Well, it's hot, but I like that even better. While the artistic iron feels good.
Lukewarm iron.
Yeah, it's more of a cuddling iron. When you, like, sort of bring to bed
with pastels.
So how many beers did you get through before that happened?
One. Yeah, we everybody had all this fun stuff going on, and we want to make sure that everybody basically has a chance to get back to that before we do too much more. So Natalie Tate, our guitarist, but also an excellent singer-songwriter in her own right, has a great band now. Anna Morissette, who plays bass with us, also has a band called The Still Tide that is finishing up its next album right now and will be touring in the spring. Ben is just kind of running the local music scene as always. I can't even keep track of how many places he's booking or committees he's in charge of or
miss
what.
I miss touring, and now I just go and sit in a car, like, for hours at a time. I just miss it.
You book from the bathroom?
Yes. You book shows from cars now.
And Lindsay and I are both writing stuff too. That is just, just kind of different stuff, but so we'll take a break at least for the first part of the year and then see what everybody's up to.
Sure. Now, I think it's really interesting. When everybody does have their own projects, how did you all come together to form ArcLife? Tell us a little bit about that story.
I think we were really lucky. I mean, we were basically sitting around doing a whole lot of this. It was wintertime. We needed to drink together. We all happened to play instruments.
We needed to. Doctor's orders.
It was a necessity.
We were just sitting around a room drinking, and we're like, dude, you want to play music too?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways.
Is that 2 weeks ago?
So that would have been in, like, February of 2013. Wait. Yeah, 2013. Yeah, because we're coming up on the winter of 2015.
Ben, when that happens, when all of your friends are sitting together in a room, is it kind of like that moment in Talladega Nights where people don't know what to do with their hands and they're like, "We must play music right now"?
Why I drink so much.
We're drinking, but we need to do something.
I'm watching everyone else play music, and I'm just like, "Oh, I'm part of this too." Clink, clink.
It's more like that moment in The Big Lebowski where, I don't know, pick a moment. I think really any moment
where
in that movie.
Where the end credits start rolling.
I was thinking where the dude is driving the car that he's just recovered down and smashes it. I don't know. I got nothing else.
Your band is just an analogy for The Big Lebowski, is that?
Kind of, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, so, yeah, we just started having fun, and we pretty quickly had a whole bunch of songs, and it's like if you're sitting around a room playing songs, you may as well make the room a little bit bigger and get more people drinking in it with you.
Totally.
While the iron feels good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was actually tricked into playing in ArcLife.
Yes.
Tell us about this. Yeah, the original proposition was like, well, hey, you're in town and we're all just hanging out. do you want to play a couple songs? And then a couple songs got to like, well, we have a couple songs, like, let's play a show. And it's like, it's not going to be that much. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be a big deal. And I swear, like, I woke up from a nap, and it was our 200th show this year in a year and a half in Iowa. And, yeah,
I had Chicago.
Was it Chicago?
Yeah, which is
technically
in Illinois.
I don't even know.
How many shows did you guys do in 1 year?
Since we started in March of 2013, it's been a little over 200 now.
Okay.
That's amazing. 210 or something.
To give perspective, what's normal or what could be expected in a band your size?
I just talked to Chris Pearson from the Czars. You know, the Czars just did their... they're putting out a best of record, and they got together at Syntax, and like the rest of the band played all the songs and stuff. It was really fun. And Chris said, in 10 years of being the Czars, they played like 70 shows or something.
No,
oh my god.
And
gosh.
He may have
no
said
way.
17. I'm not sure.
No,
wait, yeah. For real?
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. It was some
that's
ridiculously
like the
low
opposite
number.
End of the spectrum.
Yes.
From you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a huge range. I think you can make a living and or a lifestyle, whatever you're looking for at music, doing just a huge range of stuff. You can be very much focused on the creative and studio part. I have friends who never play shows who do tons of licensing and commercial stuff, and that's kind of how they make their living, but they go out and play 6 or 7 shows a year just for fun.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends around the country who do... 200 is about as many as I know most bands doing. And we didn't do that in a year. That was over, like, a year and 3/4, which makes it a little more reasonable.
Okay. Still, though, but I know that you guys both have
other things. It's still not reasonable.
Things.
It's just a little bit more reasonable.
A little bit more reasonable. I didn't say it was reasonable. Yeah.
But, for, you know, then you consider all the other things that you guys have going on in life, and that's a pretty high number,
yeah.
You know, over the course of 18 months, for sure.
And it's not like you're 19 years old and you... just want to
what
like,
you,
get in
you
a car and drive somewhere.
That you're really old.
No,
Sam likes that feeling. All of us, make all of us feel.
That's
really
why
old.
We do it, because we could die any day now. We're really old.
Ben is actually 74.
No, it's just that you have strong ties to your community, and it's not like you don't have anything to walk away from. Like, you have a lot that you're leaving behind whenever you go on the road.
Well, I don't think it's leaving behind.
Okay,
I really think of it as.
I think that it's burning down.
I think of it as what we do is being a big part of the community. I mean, we did.
Yeah.
We got to have New Belgium as part of our CD release. We've got to play Day Trotter, a community thing. We've got to play with our friends all over town. We get to play with Nathaniel Rateliff this Friday and almost every other musician in town that's available. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun.
You all were at the Tour de Fête this year.
Yep.
Man, that was fun.
And that was an amazing
one of the best days of my year, so that was really, really a blast.
I don't remember that,
yeah.
But I really don't remember that.
Further cementing that you're very old.
No, we had such a good time that day.
Yes.
That was really great. Between a bunch of really good bands, and got to just do a bunch of really fun stuff and try a bunch of beers and...
Speaking of, I think one of the first shows I ever saw of the band was, did you all open for The Head and the Heart here in Denver?
Yes.
That was my first time seeing you.
At the Ogden, actually, where we were playing on Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
Did two nights.
That was pretty amazing, and it kind of took me by surprise, and I love when, you know, an opening band really just catches you off guard and you know, completely changes your perspective on music, and I was talking to a friend yesterday about it, and that, you know, I've been to a number of your all shows, but there cannot be any number that would be enough to make me not want to still keep coming.
Like, what about 200?
I haven't been to 200 shows.
Pop in the band.
I bet that number would make you want to stop.
I don't know. You all just have so much fun with it, and you can really tell through your performances, and you can really tell by listening to the music. It's just, it feels like a true friendship. It really does.
Sweet. Thank you.
Definitely, we hope to hear more of your all's music as...
Oh, you will.
You know,
we'll be returning.
Despite the hiatus, yeah.
We'll be returning, and you'll be performing 400 shows in a year.
We're going to burn this town down, and then we'll be back in a few months
nice.
To sort of apologize and beg for your friendships again.
And sing a song about it.
Sing a song. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the beers that we're trying here today?
Yes.
Justin, why don't you start us off by telling us a little bit about this first birthday beer?
Yeah, sure thing. So, first birthday beer is
It's a cottonwood smoked imperial porter brewed with 100% Colorado ingredients. So all the malt was from Colorado Malting Company, grown in Alamosa, Colorado. Hops are organic Cascades grown in Paonia from Rising Sun Hop Farms. And, of course, Colorado water and yeast from a yeast lab in Woodland Park down near Colorado Springs. We made a smoked beer as part of our opening lineup. Tristan, you were here. Mm-hmm. You may or may not remember drinking that one, but it was
I absolutely do.
Smoked golden ale, so light in color but smoky. So kind of a beer that took people for surprise.
What is
smoked malt. So the malt is literally smoked over, in this case, cottonwood. The first one was cherrywood.
Cherrywood smoked golden, right here in my notes.
That's right.
Wow.
And funny.
Is this your drinking log?
Yeah, this is my drinking log, yes.
This is the drunk captain's log. Stardy, whatever.
It just kind of trails off at the end, and it's just like a bunch of ellipses.
The writing gets either really small or really large.
Oh, can we put an infographic of this up onto the internet?
We should.
We're gonna need it.
We'll add documents. Yeah. We'll add documents to my Station 26 notes.
So that beer was actually a mistake.
Oh, really?
I'm admitting to the public, I think, for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
It was actually supposed to be a cottonwood smoked red. And we had some media people here taking photos. It was our inaugural brew, first batch ever. And we forgot to dump a bag of red grain in the mill.
Because you guys were like mugging.
So afterwards, totally.
We know how that goes.
And we're like, oh man, this is not red at all. And so we called it Cottonwood Smoke Golden, and it was delicious.
It was
and
so
then,
delicious.
So we ultimately brewed Cottonwood Smoked Red later in the year, and then this beer, the first birthday beer, is the third of our three-part series of light, medium, and dark smoked beers.
Nice.
And then also our first ever packaged beer. So.
Sweet.
We put it in 500 milliliter bottles, wax dipped them.
Let's get a live infographic of this.
Everything is an infographic.
I don't even know what that means exactly.
It's like, I hear it's trendy.
Yeah.
Infographics. Let's get more of those.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's a beautiful taste.
I personally wax dipped 1,000 of those bottles.
Wow.
I was here in the brewery by myself until 3:30 in the morning on Thursday night in preparation of a Saturday release. I was like, somebody's got to get this done. And
That's what they make interns for. You guys haven't started an intern program yet?
Which, Tristan, you want to be the
I'm ready to jump right in, yeah, actually. This beer is really great. And I love that it's a different take. You don't see many smoked porters as like people's anniversary beers, and I love that it kind of brings it full circle from that initial smoked golden, which is great.
Yeah, an imperial stout or a double IPA would be kind of the obvious choice.
And speaking of imperial stouts, let's touch a little bit about the Dark Star release
Black Friday.
Yeah,
yeah. So I had this idea for an event in my head for a long time. I think before the brewery ever got open, and to do a Black Friday beer sale. I'm not one for shopping, and I think most of the guys around this table probably agree as far as,
Except for Sam. He likes to get up at the break of dawn just to go fight people for sweet deals. Needs his lingerie.
So we released our first ever Imperial Stout on the day after Thanksgiving. But not just one. We made 11 different variations on the same beer. Released them all, kind of scattered releases throughout the day. So, our base beer we call Dark Star Imperial Stout. We made a Belgian chocolate version. We made a raspberry version. We made a Kopi Luwak coffee version. We made a Thanksgiving version, which was really interesting.
That was a
cranberry,
really unique
rosemary,
beer.
And thyme. It was just a killer day.
People lined up.
We had great weather. We were full inside, full on the patio. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was really a tremendous day, and I had a number of the offerings. I think gingerbread was one of my favorites. The Thanksgiving one blew my mind. It was one of those beers that you know, I've been lucky enough to sample a lot of different kinds of beers, and this is one that is completely unique to anything I've ever tried before. I think that combination of the cranberry and the spices, like, just really had really complex
beer,
flavors
is,
to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of hard to do these days with, I don't know how many breweries there are in
couple
country at this point.
Couple
stand. Yeah, that was a really, really cool event on Black Friday.
Glad to hear it.
How did you get into this whole awesome
into brewing?
Yeah.
I used to be a finance person.
Really?
Show you my driver's license.
Yes. Awesome.
And I'll really show it to you.
Infographic.
I never.
Let's delete
liked it.
Info, but get an infographic.
Oh my gosh! Describe the difference.
That's great. I like it.
Sure.
This is like a John Lennon early years. And
yeah.
We have like a mid years. I'd say. I like it. Pass that around.
Yeah, so I was a finance guy. I was an investment banker and a private equity guy for a while. And
like John Lennon.
Just like John
Lennon. Just like originally an investment banker, little known fact.
And now we're here supporting the brewery. Cast. So all that hard work eventually paid off in the form of stainless steel tanks.
Yeah.
Turned Christmas bonuses into fermenters.
This is such a fantastic space, too. All
yeah.
around. Such a cool, cool area.
Yeah.
What's up? It was a firehouse before? Or
it was a firehouse.
It was an operating fire station from 1960 to 2006.
Wow.
And, you know, I love the attention to detail. Even talk about the back wall a little bit.
Yeah, so the, I guess the back bar, so to speak, is, it's bright red, you know, firehouse color, so to speak, but it's actually made out of fire hose casing.
Oh, cool.
So I somehow convinced a company in North Carolina to sell me like 1,000 feet of fire hose without hose inside or any of the fittings on the ends, which that same reaction.
Yeah, right.
What for? And I told
Don't
them
worry
and they,
about it.
They were like, oh, that sounds great.
Reported to the watch list.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our little piece of, firehouse gear.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, political sensitivity over, like, the smokiness? Like, smoke is not a sensitive issue?
I hope not.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. I don't know if you'd have, like, ex-firefighters.
We get a lot of them to come in.
Or,
yeah. And they like this place.
Cool.
Nice.
Well, firefighters are known to drink beer from time to time, so.
Right.
One of the things I love most about Station 26 is they came out of the gate from the very beginning and served tremendous beers from the very first day. And that's becoming a little bit more difficult to find among the new brewery, I guess, offerings that are springing about these days. It's really hard to go from that jump from being a home brewer to brewing on an actual system. And you know, they took really great care in really cultivating their beer program and making sure that it was up to par, so that from that initial release, they served great beers throughout.
What made the difference for you guys? How were you able to make that jump?
A professional brewer.
Okay.
So I spend most of my time on the business side of things, and then we have a full-time brewer who's brewed professionally for, I think, close to 20 years.
Do you have his name and address, please?
And so Wayne's great, and we worked together, before the brewery even opened to start, you know, sketching out recipes and homebrewing them and drinking them and tweaking them. And the Cherrywood Smoked Red, for example, is a beer that, you know, we had dialed in before we ever, I think, signed the lease on this building.
Cool.
So that's, you know, to Tristan's point, that's, it's not always done in town.
Is that hard to go from, I mean, when you talk about, like, scaling up to, I don't have any perspective on, like, what,
yeah, so we'll
how
go
much
from,
do you guys make?
And we'll,
like,
go from a 5-gallon homebrew batch, which is, you know, a normal homebrew batch. Right now we're brewing 15 barrels, which is 465 gallons at a time. And we literally just added 2 new 30-barrel tanks outside last week, so that'll go to, whatever that is, 930 gallons a
batch.
And what's the hardest jump to make, like, in those different scales?
It's kind of the way that hop utilization scales. So you can't just take a Humber batch and multiply it by, you know, 100. It doesn't really work that way. So.
Yeah. Awesome. I was looking for a specific recipe that I could steal from you. But
we'll tell you
I'll
recipe.
Take that for an answer.
Yeah.
And the great thing,
we put all of our, you know, full list of ingredients on our printed menu. I mean, we're open. You know, if you want a recipe, I'll give you a recipe. But, you know, there's so many moving parts to brewing that.
And then you'll laugh at me when I come back with something that's not nearly as good.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
No, but I think the great thing, too, is that you all really service the community here, and it's been a really welcome addition to this part of Denver. I live very close by. I live in this neighborhood, sort of, and, you know, it's been great to be able to come out here and try great beers, and you all really are very creative and thoughtful with the beers that you all put out, so...
we appreciate really that. That's our goal, is to be a neighborhood brewery.
Absolutely.
You know, this neighborhood before... Station 26 existed, didn't have a brewery. Now it has two or more, depending on where you draw the boundaries. But I think, you know, we get a good neighborhood crowd every week.
Now tell us what can people expect in the near future from you guys? Do you guys have anything else big? I know you all just went through a run of several bigger events, but anything else on the docket?
You know, I just took stock of our first 12 months. Today I finally had a chance to catch my breath. You know, it's been a crazy year. We won a medal at the Great American Beer Festival for Colorado Cream Ale, which I've been told is the first and only craft brewed cream ale to ever win in the category.
That's
normally
awesome.
Dominated by, you know, beers like PBR and Jenny Cream and stuff like that. A couple medals at the Colorado State Fair, 5280s Best New Brewery, the Westward's Best Tap Room. We got awards kind of on the design front from the building, from Historic Denver, and from the Mayor's Office, the Mayor's Design Award. And then two expansions in less than 12 months.
Wow, that's tremendous.
So what you can expect in 2015 is a lot more Station 26 on draft across you know, the Denver-Boulder area, I hope.
Totally. Nice. Well, fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to trying that, for sure. Cool. Well, let's touch on a few other topics that we've got. We've got a full lineup.
To touch you.
Sam's going to be touching me.
Sorry, it's recording.
Sam, let's touch while the iron feels good.
While the iron feels good. what's new with JP? What's new with you over there?
Oh, well, I've been a busy few months since we last all got together. In a great way. I've been riding my bike a bunch. I made a commercial.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that commercial.
It was for Ranger IPA, one of our beers at New Belgium, and it was a super fun experience getting to film it here in Denver at Wash Park, at Country Club Liquors, the liquor store over in Wash Park, and getting to meet a few different people around Denver. And it was a pretty fun experience. It was a really fun experience. I'd never really kind of, you know, seen any sort of glimpse into the film world, so it was cool to see that. And, yeah, it was.
You were perfect for that, by the way. Like, you had a really. It was stoic, but it was kind of fun.
Friendly and creepy at the same time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Stoic, so. Creepy, and fun. That is a winning combination.
That's how people describe Justin in general.
I love it.
We'll be sure to throw that commercial up with the podcast once it's up on the website.
So yeah, but you know, I've taken a few bike trips and just kind of been working here and there and. AKA working a lot and playing a little bit. What's that?
Your Thanksgiving bike.
Yeah, went out to Death Valley for the first time and rode mountain bikes with a couple of my friends out in Death Valley. We've kind of stumbled into this this annual fall bike trip with a couple of my buddies. And 2 years ago, we rode our bikes from down the California coast, and then last year we all met in Moab and did some mountain biking there. And this year it ended up being Death Valley, and one of our good friends that lives out in California planned this whole trip. without the other three of us knowing. And so he was like, this is the gear we're going to have, and this is kind of what you can expect each day mileage-wise, and that was about it. We didn't really know where we were going each day, and we ended up riding for a couple days and ended up at this remote hot springs in Death Valley, kind of in the northern part, and it was this... It was this crazy spot. So it used to be BLM land back in the day. And then in 1996, President Clinton made this BLM land that was adjacent to Death Valley National Park, part of the national park, and made it the biggest national park in the lower 48 states. And so there's been this kind of crew of these crazy hippie nudists that have been going to this campsite since the 60s, and it's run on a volunteer basis, and it does not feel like you're at a national park campground, and it was one of the coolest spots. It was just, it's just such a fascinating geography.
Clothes?
Most of the time I do. I attempted the no clothes.
Do you have any infographics?
I do have infographics. And I tried the whole being naked thing for a while, but I didn't particularly care for it. It's all like this part of the national park is also butts up against some
nice one.
Butts up is adjacent to some Air Force bases or Navy bases, I'm not sure which. So there's like F-18s that come flying through this valley a couple hundred feet up above the ground, and a couple of them broke the sound barrier a couple times, and it was just kind of this really crazy spot. So
that seems like something you would want to have clothes on for.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
What happens when you shit your pants without pants on?
What happens if you get hit with a sonic boom in a coat closet?
Yeah. You don't want to know.
It can go one of two ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you've got a really cool event happening tomorrow night, hopefully tonight once this podcast goes live.
I do. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, so it's going... Yeah, I will be doing my first storytelling event in front of a live crowd tomorrow night, so...
Are you doing narrators?
I am, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I first found out about it a couple months ago when Virgil did his story, and then I went again last month, and I was just like, this might be the next thing that I try, and so... I remember the first time I did a radio show, and I was, like, reading off a piece of paper and, like, shaking, and I was just like... I'm behind a microphone right now. Nobody can see me, but I was still super nervous, and I was kind of, I guess, inadvertently looking for that next thing that kind of did that. And nobody wants to hear me sing, and I'm not about to do any sort of stand-up comedy, so I felt like this was kind of that next natural path to do something that's somewhat of a performance and kind of gives me that feeling of butterflies and whatever else. So,
sure. So recap for people who don't know, who aren't familiar with the narrators, what exactly the narrators?
So the narrators is a storytelling event that happens once a month, the third Wednesday of each month at the Buntport Theater on 7th and Lapan. And like I said, our buddy Virgil was telling a story 2 months ago. The theme was number two, and for those of you who know Virgil and those of you who don't, the guy really likes to talk about poop, so it was only a natural fit for him to be a part of that. And I went to check it out that night and was expecting everybody else to be talking about poop as well, but found out that a lot of people interpreted the number two in a variety of ways and told all kinds of different stories, and wasn't expecting to be crying that night, and definitely
Virgil
was.
Virgil would have said, told a poop story, no matter what the theme is.
Right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the guy here.
Yeah.
That's Virgil.
So it ended, and then a couple nights later, The Moth was in town for the first time. They did their Story Slam event down at the Swallow Hill Music Spot down on Broadway and Yale. I think it's Yale.
What's the exact address?
I don't know. Corner of Broadway and Yale. It was founded by Andrew Orvidal, one of the comedians in town, and a couple other guys. I'm not too, totally
Ron.
Yep, as Rob, well.
Robert Rutherford.
Ron.
Was,
Robert.
Yeah.
Robert.
Robert.
Oh,
Rutherford.
Sorry.
Yeah, those
guys. You were correcting me. My apologies. So. I was like, no.
No, no seriously.
No, I'm right.
You're probably right.
We'll see how it goes.
Old man Johnny Rutherford.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited and nervous. I've been practicing. The topic is no returns, given the holiday Christmas gift-giving season.
If you get nervous, just picture everyone else nudist.
Yes.
That's all you need to do.
Great.
Or just start telling poop stories.
Yeah.
Or just start pooping.
That was your transition.
Yeah.
Please, next.
Sam, do you have anything new up in your docket? I know that you've been doing some tremendous work with Wonderbound. Why don't you tell people a little bit about what you guys are doing?
I'll turn the mic my way. Because we're high tech here, and we have one mic for 8 million
it's a good
people.
Mic.
It's great. It's a portable one. I'll limit it to two things: one Wonderbound, one Forum Stories. So Wonderbound just started last week. We opened a really cool show. For those of you who don't know, Wonderbound is a contemporary ballet company, which goes hand in hand with beer culture, especially the ballet part. And that's
beer
totally
and
a joke.
While they perform, right?
Yeah. goes a lot with football.
I don't know. They're pretty cool. I feel like they I probably feel like you have some. Beer
we actually
in
that have
crowd.
A lot of beer, but just traditional ballet. Yeah. Definitely not the beer drinkers world. But it's, if you grow up in dance, you are a slave to the Nutcracker every Christmas time. And I was talking to our artistic director. I think this is the first year in 24 years he hasn't done the Nutcracker. And so last year we said goodbye to, you know, the famous piece. And we're like, we are doing something that's just us. So we did a thing called Winter. And we created an adult fairy tale around some traditional English folk tales around magpies, and Jesse Manley and his band created a new soundtrack for it. It goes with all five senses, so we worked with a perfumery to scent different scenes where people would pull out a card and smell, and then we had food that went along with it, and projection art, and it was just so cool. So last week was opening week. And after people got a taste of it, we just sold out all the rest of the shows. So that was really fun. And I played a really big part in it. I scented all the perfume cards. And then Forum Stories, I'm stoked because Toyota reached out and said, hey, do you want to borrow a car for something? What did they say? They said, hey, it looks like you're doing good things in Denver, and we have a local influencer program. Will you take this car and just talk about it? Like, yeah, but that kind of sounds boring. So we said yes to taking the car, obviously, but now we're going to go.
Now we're going to run away.
Now,
that sounds boring.
I hope Justin doesn't ever review your address.
We measured the distance between Denver and Canada's border and Mexico's border, and we decided it would be faster to flee to Canada with the car. No, we're going to go to the desert of California. And we're just going to go spend New Year's in the desert to this place called Salvation Mountain.
That's great.
And we're going to go camping and make a little video about it.
That's tremendous. Yeah. That's really cool.
Sounds fun. It was just fun because, like,
baller status, Sam Pike.
It was just sweet. Like, Toyota, what the heck?
What kind of car are they going to get in?
A RAV4. So. Solid mom car. Sorry.
I like those. Those are good touring vehicles. Actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's a trick. It's a trick. You're going to play 200 shows before you even know.
I have a friend who's in town right now who's actually playing at Ubi Sabubi on Thursday night. This guy goes by Paleo, and he has a RAV4 Ravi Shankar. Car.
Like, that's hilarious.
Wait, what do you mean?
It has, I think, 350,000 miles on it now. He's just driven it in circles and circles and circles.
Oh my gosh.
The U.S., yeah.
Are you trying to get a car?
Yeah, basically, I'm trying to get a car.
I'll pass you on to Toyota. You have a much bigger reach than the Forum Stories.
The only problem with RAVs is that they don't fit drummers. So.
Sorry,
I was trying to turn that around on you. It just sounded mean. Damn it.
No car for you.
Somebody at Toyota headquarters right now just went, no car.
I wish we could help you, but you have a driver.
Off the list. Yes. Because everyone at Toyota is totally listening to the Porchcast right now. Oh, there's guys on
the Forgecast. I heard them. Yeah.
No, Forgecast is huge in Japan.
biggest following.
Totally.
Yeah.
Speaking of like the New Year's and the holidays, what we always kind of do like roundtable discussions. What are your all's favorite holiday traditions? Do you all have anything unique or fun?
I usually like to go home to my family, and I don't get to do that this year. So thanks for asking. Thanks.
Why not?
I'll see you guys later.
What are you gonna do?
We have to go to practice.
Well, this ended poorly.
We're going to be in Denver this year, which I'm actually really excited about. We kind of blew our holiday cash on Puerto Rico. Not good planning for our families.
Just gave it to Puerto Rico.
Thank you for being the coolest place that's not a state.
You fall for one of those, like, Puerto Rican princes.
My investment comes in.
Prince emails. But I am a prince in Puerto Rico, and I could use your support. Jesse was like, sure, take it all. Take it all.
Take it all. I don't have to see my family this year. It's okay.
What about you guys, Justin?
Let's see. I guess I'll do a Thanksgiving one, even though Thanksgiving's passed.
Sure.
Normally going home and drinking heavily on Thanksgiving Eve, which I think may be more of an East Coast thing than a Denver thing.
No, I think that's pretty universal.
I grew up in Jersey, and that was, yeah.
We're in Jersey.
Toms River, home of the 1996 Little League World Series champions. The Beast from the East. I was too old.
I can't believe
I wasn't on the team.
Peaked in '96. That hurts.
Ouch. What's your claim to fame?
Dinosaur. We have a beach.
Yeah, go on.
Please continue.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a claim to fame at Manasquan. It probably is.
You can get back to us.
Yeah, I have to look that up.
Tell us about your holiday traditions while we're on it. Or were you not done with it?
That's all I got.
Just drinking heavily.
And then the next day, you just watch football and eat food.
All right. Yeah. That's pretty fantastic. Yeah.
We had a great... My 8th grade band teacher called me Benji. And it set me back so far socially and in school. I'm still not recovered.
Oh, man. So that explains everything.
Then I started to play the drums. In the last few years, there has been a great... there used to be a hotel right near Charlie Brown's on a... It's around 6th somewhere.
Grant?
Yeah.
6th and Grant.
That had a jazz New Year's.
Oh, okay.
And it was amazing because it was Pernell Steen, piano player, a bass player. His cousin is a big bass player. He's like a 90-year-old bass player in town. It's amazing.
Sweet.
And a bunch of church ladies.
Oh, wow.
So it was just this, like, gospel-y jazz hotel bar lounge New Year's Eve. It was brilliant.
Wow. Sounds dreamy.
But that closed, so they're looking for a new place, I think. And wherever they are, I'm going to find it, because it was amazing.
Nice.
And I'll go to H.M. Collins at the Oriole.
Give them an address. Shout it out while I'm there.
Yeah. I don't, like, know addresses of places. I'm not like Rain Man with addresses, but...
What do you Rain Man with?
I don't know.
I kind of also are they actively looking for a place for this year?
No. They have a place. I just don't know what it is.
Just have them play.
They won't tell you.
Yeah.
For now, please.
They actually switched locations because you were starting to creep them out a little bit.
Just too enthusiastic. In the
Guys, I love this every year.
Yeah.
What about you, Jesse? Any crazy
No,
crazy.
Just being sad because I can't be with my
family. Thanks for bringing it up again.
He's trying to rub it in.
Bringing it up.
Hey,
again.
Are you going to go see your family?
He gave his money.
Oh, is that a tear, Jesse?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That the most important thing is family around the holidays.
Definitely not.
Oh, but you know, okay. To be serious, I'm very happy about my parents and a bunch of our good friends, Barclay, are all coming out for the show this weekend.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to get to have a serious family hang.
Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. So stop rubbing it in, okay? They're coming this weekend. They still love me. I still love them. It's cool.
That's all right. I was there last year. I was an orphan last year. But JP, what about you?
My plans or traditions? What are we talking
about? Anything that you love doing on the holidays?
You know, Christmas...
You're gonna launch into a speech.
You know.
So, hold on, I'm gonna fill
in. Let me preface this. We only have about 15 minutes left.
This year, so my parents got a divorce this spring, so that has added a little bit of awkwardness to the holidays, and even a couple years ago when they first started going through these not so great phases. But this year, it's going to be pretty rad because the way that Christmas falls, it's on a Thursday, and my dad has Fridays off from work. So my dad and my youngest brother, Matt, are going to come down to Denver. We're going to cook a bunch of food at my house and just hang out, the three of us. And then we'll go back up either to Fort Collins or Cheyenne, either to aunts and uncles or my grandfather's house. And then my dad and I are going to take off the afternoon of Christmas and go to Moab and just camp in the desert for a couple days. He's never been before.
That's
so
good.
He was, I think, feeling a little bit overwhelmed by all of the invitations to kind of include him on so many things that he didn't really want to do any of it. So we're going to do part of it, and then we're going to split town and go camping for the weekend and just kind of go check out Moab. So
you're
I'm pretty psyched about that. Yeah, I am.
What's your address?
Well, which one? I've got many. I have many addresses.
He's a wealthy man.
Yes.
Justin lives at the Fort Collins Legal Pizza now.
I do have a home up there still. The address is 613 Bolts Drive. If anybody wants to go knock on the door, my brother Matt Patty might answer the door and say hey and be really confused. So head on up. The house I grew up in is 2318 Wapiti Road.
Yes.
And I don't know who lives there now.
Rain Man. Rain Man in action.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's great. I am actually going to be home, and I'm really excited because I haven't really been home in about a year and a half now. I'm from Kentucky, and my last winter, my parents went out to Hong Kong for my cousin's wedding, and I was working a new job at the time, so I couldn't swing the trip. They took a full month to go to Hong Kong. So, I'm really excited to see them and really catch up on seeing friends and family out in Lexington, and then
you're from Lexington? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm from Lexington.
Cool.
Yeah,
I love Lexington.
Yeah, it's a
great town.
Cool town for sure. I think it's definitely one of those towns that's got a lot going on right now, and it's a really cool place and time for Lexington, especially on the beer scene. I'm really looking forward to catching up with a lot of our beer friends out there and checking out some of the new breweries that are springing up in Lexington. Because, Kentucky's known for such a great bourbon culture, but craft beer scene is really catching up. And I'm definitely going to be dropping in to see our friends at Country Boy Brewing and West 6th. And there's a new brewery called Ethereal. And just going to go say hi to some friends. So.
If you need any fun musicians to hang out with, my other band, a decent chunk of them live in Lexington.
Oh, no way.
And they are fun.
Awesome.
They're fun guys.
I love
recording studios, nice. Venues. What do you need? You just tell me. We'll talk afterwards.
Right.
I'll give you addresses.
Can you do me one better and give me an infographic of all their information?
Oh, yeah.
We'll post it.
Infographic. That's some more Rain Man type of shit.
This is delicious. What is this?
It's the plum double.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I didn't want to sound like a dumbass guessing it wrong, but that's what it tastes like.
Do you guys want to...
Yum.
Why don't we do some tasting notes on the plum double?
Yeah, we were supposed to...
What's Sam doing for Christmas?
We were supposed to leave for practice 20 minutes ago.
I live under
Tristan's
stairwell.
Don't worry.
He forgets about me.
No, you were talking about you were going to the desert.
Oh, okay. That was my story.
Oh, yeah. That's part of your... your
Toyota. I didn't forget about you.
Your new tradition is free cars and driving into the desert.
Free cars and cocaine. And
You just lost your car. Right?
Yep, government investigation.
Great. Sam's going to accidentally destroy the recording.
What's
after
your tradition,
this is all
Sam?
Over.
Well, I kind of get a free car.
No, but it's a surprise, which is why I'm so excited. Because New Year's always, it just always falls through for me. So, fingers crossed this one doesn't. If they don't listen to this, I think we'll be good.
Yeah. I'll call my contacts at Toyota and make sure they don't listen.
Hey, guys, you really shouldn't listen to this podcast that you weren't going to listen to anyway.
That's a good way to boost listenership.
Yes. Yeah. Hey,
don't listen to this.
Reverse psychology marketing.
That's actually our new marketing campaign. Don't listen to this podcast. Everyone's like, huh? What? We should totally listen to that. And give Sam free cars.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I want a free car.
Okay.
You won't believe how Sam got a new car.
Actually, if y'all look under your seat, you'll find the keys to...
Getting all Oprah on
nothing. The Nothing. Nothing.
You'll find a cool lawn chair.
All right, well, I think since you guys got to go practice, I think we've pretty much reached the end of our session here. We really appreciate the fellows from Arc Life, Ben and Jesse, and then also Justin from Station 26 for having us out here for episode 8 of the podcast. We are looking forward to doing more of these in the future, and I think we're going to be trying to work towards some live broadcasts in the near future as well. So be on the lookout. Be sure to check porchdrinking.com, and we'll be chatting with you soon.
Adios. Sweet.